Psalm 146 this morning as we look at the Word of God here. Let's go ahead and read. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow and widow. By the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning about praise the Lord. It's a term we see often in the Bible. It's what we gather together to do on a Sunday morning is come together and praise the Lord. And here we have a psalm where I didn't look up who wrote it, but probably David wrote this that says, praise ye the Lord. How often do we praise the Lord? Is it just Sunday morning? Is it just Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night? Do we praise him with all that we are? Or do we merely come together and sing the hymns and hope that time goes by quickly so that we can nod our heads during the sermon and then go home and have a nice lunch or something? Or do we do it with our whole heart? Charles Spurgeon wrote, praise is the rehearsal for our eternal song by the grace we learn to sing, and in glory we continue to sing. Our time here on earth is kind of our job interview, if you will, for when we get to heaven and what we're probably going to spend some time in eternity. We were talking about that on the car ride home yesterday, that we don't know a lot about heaven. We don't know a lot about what we'll be doing for eternity. We were, one of the girls was commenting about in a million years how old I would be. I said, well, you'll be almost as old, because in a million years of eternal time, a little 11-year-old is almost, or 9-year-old is almost as old as a 40-something-year-old, so it won't matter a whole lot. But we know we won't age, we won't ache, we won't have the pain we have today, and that's something to praise the Lord about, isn't it? The hope that we have for eternity. But praise is the rehearsal for our eternal song. By grace we learn to sing, and in glory we continue to sing. We have so much to praise God for, and our praise must be more than just lip service. It should be heartfelt, full of gratitude towards our Creator and our Savior for all He has done. Think about it. If we spend our time honestly praising God, wouldn't that make more people more inclined to be followers of Christ? How often do we instead complain about the political situation or what our governor's done or hasn't done and things like that, instead of praising God for what He has done and what He has given us and what He's blessed us with? Or, you know, Christians, a lot of times we whine about it's too hot or it's too cold or it's too wet or it's too dry, but we should praise God for all the weather that He sends and how He cares for us even though we're sinners. And He sends the rain upon the sinners, we read in Scripture also, but praise God for the dry too, and we don't have the bugs. I was back east not too long ago, and it was like, wow, it's nice, it's green, and they have a lot of bugs and other things that go along with it. It's kind of nice living in the desert where we don't have all those things. Praise God for the unique creation He has given us where there are these different environments. But what are we doing with our praise of God to cause others to want to be drawn to Him? And wouldn't it also help our outlook on life if we were focused on what we can thank God for and praise Him for, instead of, woe is me, I have to study for school, or I have to go to work, or building prices are up, or whatever the case might be? You know, it's fair to talk about those things and have discord about those things, but praise God we can afford to go to school. Praise God that we have the opportunity to go to work and do these things. Praise God we still have our health and whatnot. So what is praise? If we look at it from the original Hebrew, hallel, it is to shine, to praise, to boast, to be boastful, and more in the negative, to make a fool of or to act madly. But the sense here is that we're to praise God in such a way that people look at us kind of like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Why are you praising God? Maybe I should find out a little bit more here. But to shine, to praise, to boast about our God and what He's done, what He has blessed us with, what He's given us. Sometimes it's obvious that we should boast about our God to it's obvious what we should boast to God about. Sometimes God blesses us with a little extra money that we needed to pay a bill or something like that, and it's like, wow, praise God that that came in. But other times it's not so obvious, and that's when God wants us to pause and think about all that He has done that we're not recognizing, to take that moment and reflect upon what He has given us. And you know what? Even if we can't think of anything, there's always our salvation. There's always our salvation and what Christ did on the cross, where He died. Been reading about that in my daily reading a little bit and hearing it in other sermons and stuff. And, you know, Christ suffered, beaten beyond recognition, willingly to die for our sins upon the cross. Praise God. Praise God. Because He could have said, no, I'm calling down 10,000 angels and I'm out of here. These human, sorry so-and-sos, I created them, but man, they don't deserve this. But He didn't. He hung on that cross. He died. He went to the grave, and He rose victorious. Praise God. That we would have the hope of eternity, the hope of salvation. Praise, however, is not to be falsely boasting of God so that men will praise us. We have to be very careful that it's not something where like, oh yeah, praise God, He gave me this big check, and whoa, look at all this I can do, and then, wow, yeah. No, it's to humbly submit ourselves before God and praise Him for what He has done. How many times do we think of the Israelites in Scripture? And we studied in our little family devotion Sunday school this morning of Jonathan and his armor bearer who, when they were there and Saul was diminished and not sure how he was going to defeat the Philistines, and Jonathan's like, you know what? God said we'd be victorious. Let's climb up there and see what we can do. And he wasn't doing it for glory that we would sing praise to Jonathan today, but no, to bring glory to God. And he did a little test on the way up the mountain where he said, you know, if God wants us to do this, they'll call us up. If He doesn't, we'll know that, you know, they'll say, wait for us to come down to you. And they said, come on up here. And they're like, okay. So we climbed on up there, and two men defeated a large army because of the power of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they did that to bring praise and glory to God for what He did, not because of Jonathan and his armor bearer, who doesn't even have his name written down in Scripture. We don't know who he was, just that he was faithful to Jonathan because of the faith of Jonathan, who was willing to serve and praise his God. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9 says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Again, just that reminder that it can't be lip service. It has to come from our heart. It has to be genuine. God doesn't want to hear us praising and worshiping Him if it's not genuine. But let's look a little bit here at Psalm 146 a little closer. As we see, verse 2 reminds us to sing praises to God for as long as we have life in us. I think of Paul, as he was in jail, knowing that he was near to death, and he asked that the scrolls be brought to him, that he could study the Word of God more, that he could praise God more, that he could learn more about his Creator. What a testimony that is to us, and that we would be on our deathbed still wanting to read Scripture and sing praise to God and tell others of Christ. I remember a story of someone who was hospital-ridden in her old age. She couldn't do much, but she could still write letters. And so she wrote a letter to someone, and that person got saved. And people came to hear about this, and so they'd ask her, hey, could you write letters to this loved one or that loved one? And she ended up with a ministry where I don't know if it was tens or hundreds or thousands that got saved, but through that ministry, laying in bed, bedridden, she was able to bring people to Christ through her unique ability to write letters. Praise the Lord that she didn't just say, woe is me, I guess I'm here to die, but she used her opportunity to serve God and bring praise and honor to Him and see people added to the kingdom. As long as we have life in us, let's serve God. Verse 3 then, that our help does not come from man, but from God. That is worthy of praise. I don't have to wait for the government to give me a handout. My help comes from God. I don't have to wait for the government to pass this law or that law or pull that law. My help comes from God, and I'll take my matters to Him. Man is finite. Man will die. The earth will perish. Let us praise God and not man. If only America would come to the realization that no politician has the power to save, only God. It doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. None of them ultimately can help us when it comes to eternity. The world, America, New Mexico, Edgewood needs Jesus. Is our hope therefore in the Lord? It's the only hope worth having. For He made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein in. The Lord is who holds truth forever. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. And this message, this lesson this morning is for me. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the things we have to do each day and not praise God for the things. But verse 5 reminds us that happy are we, for we're followers of Jesus. He is our help. We must hope in no one else. Ultimately, you know, we can go to our pastor or someone else that is scripturally based and ask for counsel and wisdom from the Word of God. But ultimately, there is no one that can help us besides Christ, besides God our Creator. And seek no other than Him who is eternal. I will praise Him. God will set all things right. God will heal the oppressed. God provides. The fatherless, God provides. The widow, God provides. If we're under a burden, God will lift the burden. Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Salah. Blessed be the Lord. He gives us daily what we need. You know, we often want to plan out. My wife's a planner. She wants to know, okay, what are we going to do next Friday? What are we going to do when this happens and that happens? I'm like, I don't know. I'm focused on today. I got to get through today. I got to, you know, keep my energy focused on what is right before me. Because if I start thinking about a month from now or a week from now or 10 years from now, I'm going to be overwhelmed. That's God's problem. God is looking at those things. God has that under control. My focus is to put my energy and my faith in Him today and do my best to live for Him today, and God will take care of those things in the future. If we're seeking after God's righteousness, though, we know we have a special place with Him. God is the ultimate, again, Father to all who need Him, a friend to the widow, and those that strive against Him will be turned upside down. I'll praise Him for that. You know, we think of those in authority today and how wicked they are and what they're doing against the unborn and the wickedness that is there. I look forward to the day when God turns them upside down and takes all their power away, but ultimately I pray that they get saved. Because I don't want even the most vile person to spend eternity in hell. But God will see justice done, and we will praise Him for that. He is eternal. He is our Creator. Let us praise Him, for He is worthy. Psalm 51, verse 15. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. You know, that was the verse that kind of started all of this lesson that had been in my daily reading. And, O Lord, open Thou my lips. When we can't praise God, we need to ask Him to open our lips so that we can praise Him. Ask God to help us praise Him, that my mouth shall show forth Thy praise. How sad it is when someone comes to you looking for Jesus and all they see is you, Mother Teresa said. How sad, though, that is when the world looks at us and they see Adam. They don't see Christ. My mouth shall show forth praise to God. How often do we praise God? It's so easy to be, again, downtrodden and gloomy. But if we look around, God has so much for which we can focus and praise Him for. Even the snowflakes this morning, I praise God for the reminder that my sins are washed white as snow. White as snow. A couple verses, I found this interesting, so if you have time to flip here, open 2 Samuel 22. Keep your other finger in Psalm 18. So we're going to look at a couple things. It was interesting to me. Maybe you already knew this, or it won't be interesting to you. But 2 Samuel 22, verse 4, 2 Samuel 22 and verse 4 says, I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And then if you flip back to Psalm 18 and verse 3, it says basically the same thing. I will call, now the one word difference is upon the Lord. In 2 Samuel 22, it said on, and I didn't do the Hebrew study or anything to know if it was just a translation deal or not, but I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. If God put it in the Bible once, it's important. If God put it in the Bible twice, it's doubly important. So we ought to pay attention and understand that we will be saved from our enemies. And there's a song that you may have heard, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, based on this verse. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ, the verse we don't know as much from the song, He died for me, and He took away my sin. I will live with Him for eternity. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. If you've still got your fingers in 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18, there's another parallel here. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 50 parallels Psalm 18 verse 49. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Psalm 18, 49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. And sing praises unto thy name even among the heathen. So again, scripturally, God wants us to be singing praises to God that the world will hear it. You know, a lot of times we come in here and we might sing a hymn or two, but maybe Subway hears us, maybe they don't. We don't know. We hear them sometimes, but we should sing those hymns and those praises to God that they would be proclaimed and able to hear our testimony. But more importantly, when we're among family, when we're among coworkers or other places, Walmart, you know, they'd look funny at us if we're singing praises in the aisleways of Walmart, but there's people doing other crazy things, so we might fit right in. We don't know. But what if we were to praise God, things like that? So a little bit of a different angle here, but turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32 is the familiar story of the prodigal son, but I want to look at something a little different angle here than perhaps you have before, perhaps you have seen this. But Luke 15, I'm going to read 18 to 32 just to remind us the story here. Luke 15, verse 18 begins, I will arise. So the prodigal son is gone. He's spent his inheritance. He's poor. He's in the pig pen, not given much to eat and wondering what to do. And he says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's praise. That's praise to God that his son had came back to him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. I'm going to pause there for a second because I was reading of the trial of Christ, and a word struck me as Pilate had sent him to Herod, and Herod, it said, put a gorgeous robe on him. I'd missed that word gorgeous. I knew that they put a robe on him, but the word gorgeous just struck me the other day of how they recognized, in no sense, the glory of him, but in a way they were mocking him by saying, oh, let's put this gorgeous robe on him. But here, the Father is putting the best robe on him, as we will be robed with Christ's righteousness when we get to heaven. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And put it on him, and put the ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. Praise God. And they began to be merry. Now this is what I wanted to look at, the elder son and his reaction. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the elder son, was angry. It would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet there was... thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Obviously, there's so much in this story to look at, but I want to look there at the response of the elder son. How often do we as Christians, when we see a new person saved, we're like, well, I've been going to church for 30 years, and we don't get up and say, woohoo, yay, Adam, you've been going to church for 30 years, but this guy gets saved and suddenly we're all happy for him? What's up with that? No, we're to praise God. We're to praise God when somebody is able to overcome sin. It may not be a sin that we've struggled with. We may be walking the narrow way and be living in righteousness, but you know, they got over alcoholism or whatever, and we should praise God with them. But often we're like the elder son. We want to sit back and, come on, what's the big deal? I've never struggled with that. That's not a problem for me. Why are we celebrating them? But we get that enviousness. Spirit, we get that divisiveness in us, and instead of coming together and recognizing that, hey, let's all praise God for what's happening. How often does a son or a daughter get a good job, and you're like, oh, they're making more than I do. That's not right. No, praise God that you don't have to care for them, that they're being taken care of by God, and they don't have to come live in your basement, or you're upstairs and you live in the basement, or whatever the case might be. Praise God that he has blessed them in such a way. And yet this elder son here, he couldn't see past himself. He couldn't see past himself and his circumstances to recognize that his father loved him, but he also loved his younger brother. And there should have been a kinsmanship there between the brothers, and a rejoicing on the elder brother's part. And yet, we, like that elder brother, often struggle with that. But he should have run in there and been praising God for that, recognizing that all his dad had was going to be his. He didn't have anything to worry about there. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. It's ultimately a choice. It's ultimately a choice. We decide how we react to what we encounter each day. I certainly need to work on praising God more. It's so easy to get bogged down with all that's going on and lose sight of eternity. You know, we get to see what's here and now. We don't get to see eternity. I think we get some glimpses of eternity. We get reminded in the scripture of eternity. But it's so hard sometimes to keep that as our focus. It's easy to worry about the bill that's coming, the job that's undone, the health issue that won't go away. But in the span of eternity, none of that's going to matter. Whether we live 40 years, 80 years, 180 years, it doesn't really matter. What matters is, did we praise God? Did we bring others to Christ through our lives? Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. How would the world react if all the followers of Christ started praising God with their whole heart? I'm not talking about anything crazy, but what if we just started recognizing all he's done for us and praised him for it? You know, what if we just walked down the street saying, wow, praise God for this beautiful day or this ugly day, you know, whatever the case might be. What we praise God for the moisture. We praise God for the ability to walk down the street. Wow, praise God, I'm able to walk today. And I'm being a little bit facetious here, but think about it. What if we as Christians had that attitude of praise, that attitude of praise to our Creator? Would it make the world look? Would it make them wonder? I think it would. Psalm 9, verse 11, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. What a God we serve. Let us sing praise unto him. Psalm 30 and verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. There are those, of course, we know that seek to silence Christ's followers. We must not, nay, cannot be silent. We cannot allow them to silence us. It's got to be such a strong desire in us to praise God that even at the risk of going to jail or heaven forbid, we have to be killed for our faith, that we'd say, praise God that I have this opportunity to be a martyr for him, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Romans 15 and 11, it was interesting in the study that there's only two times in the New Testament that this kind of praise God or praise of God comes into, that phrasing comes in Romans 15, 11. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. So if you're like, well, it's just in the Old Testament, it's just in Psalms, no, Apostle Paul told us as Gentiles to praise the Lord. We need to be praising God. And the other place was 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. I found that very interesting. We know that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But here we see that they will also praise God. It may not seem like it today, but President Biden will one day praise God, whether he wants to or not. He will praise God. All of them will praise God. So why aren't me, more in the habit of praising God today? Because one day that's what we're going to do as part of eternity and our eternal life. There is coming a time when we're going to praise God, every one of us. Let's do it now and thank him for eternity. Spurgeon wrote, praise is the beauty of a Christian. What wings are to a bird, what fruit is to the tree, what the rose is to the thorn, that is praise to the child of God. Let's praise God. Psalm 146, where we started, praise ye the Lord, verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. And then verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. I hope this was an encouragement to you. I hope it was a reminder. I'm sure you've all heard stuff about praising God before, but as I was studying, I knew I needed the reminder to praise God more, to thank him more, to show him that I recognize who he is as my creator, and to show those around me that I will praise God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning for your word, for all that you do for us. Lord, it's hard to put into words all the things that we praise you for, but we thank you that we can. Lord, we pray that you would just cause us to reflect as we go through the week and praise you. Maybe it's a small thing we say to someone that's around us. Well, praise the Lord for what he has done. That causes them to wonder and want to know more about you. We don't know, Lord, how people will react, but we know when we're negative, when we're not focused on you, that we're going to say things that people will look at us and say, well, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want that. Lord, I pray that you just help me to be considerate of my words and to bring praise and glory to your name, not to myself, but to you. That souls might be saved, that seeds might be planted, that seeds might be watered, and that you would reap the harvest, Lord, as we go through this life. Lord, we look forward to the day when every man will praise you. Lord, help us to do that on this side of eternity and not wait. Lord, we again just thank and love you and thank you for this day. We pray that you would be with us and bring us back together again at the appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.